is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution returned from the Holy Land, from Israel, with information about the national cabinet right now conducting the war against Hamas, led by Bibi Netanyahu. However, also present in spirit at the national cabinet, the war cabinet, is MBS, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, who is very much part of the future for Israel. He's part of the solution for Israel. However, Peter, a very good evening to you. Your piece at Real Clear Politics names something called the Saudi bind. And of course, that points to MBS. What is the Saudi bind? How does it work? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, the Saudi bind, I think, is the is a good name for a political challenge that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has faced really since he took office for the sixth time as Prime Minister back in late December of 2022. Netanyahu made clear that one of the goals of this government was to bring the Saudi Arabia into the Abraham Accords fold. And there were indications that Saudi Arabia, led by the young Crown Prince and Prime Minister Mohammed bin Salman, was eager to strike such a deal with Israel. But here's the catch. MBS, as he's called, has let it be known that he needs Israel to make some concrete steps in the direction of providing for greater self-government and prosperity for Palestinians living in Judea and Samaria. Other people call it the West Bank, and improving the condition for Gazans. But Netanyahu is hamstrung in doing that because he formed a coalition that includes two religious nationalists, the Minister of Treasury, Bezalel Smotrich, and the Minister of National Security, a man named Itamar Ben-Gvir, and they are adamantly opposed to any of the sorts of concessions that Netanyahu needs to make to enable MBS to move toward Israel. So that's the Saudi bind. Netanyahu wants to deal with the Saudis, and the Saudis want to deal with the Israelis, but Netanyahu can't make the compromise moves towards the Palestinians that he needs to do to allow MBS to move forward.
My understanding of MBS, reading about him, he's a young man with great ambitions to rebuild the Middle East, not just Saudi Arabia, the Middle East. And he knows that he's going to outlive all of us. Certainly the leaders of the countries that he's dealing with right now, and a large part of the population that stands back and watches what's happening. He has a vision somewhere into the future. He knows what he wants to achieve. Is that important to these doubters in the Israeli cabinet? Do they see that he is, let's put it this way, there's more here for MBS than there is for any member of the cabinet, because he's going to outlive everybody?
Well, there's something to that. And the members of the cabinet who are the problem for Netanyahu that I pointed to, they're not in principle opposed to a deal with MBS. They can understand that there's actually something in it for Israel as well, that there are great opportunities for Israel to use its tech know-how to be of assistance to MBS as he renovates cities in Saudi Arabia, as he builds brand new cities on the Gulf of Aqaba and the Red Sea. They see those advantages, but these guys, the Minister of the Treasury, Minister of National Security, are it's not too strong to say messianists, who think that hardly is anything more important than securing Israel's dominance in Judea and Samaria. That means opposing concessions on the Palestinian front. That for them is the deal breaker. They can't see beyond that. I think, by the way, in Israel as a whole, there would be considerable enthusiasm for the compromises, a willingness to make the compromises that MBS is seeking.
Where is Iran in the Saudi bind? knowing that Iran is a threat to Israel, is a threat to Riyadh, is a threat to peace in the region. Is that part of the conversation?
Oh, I think it's actually central to the conversation. The Abraham Accords, the initial Abraham Accords, Bahrain, Emirates on the one side, Israel on the other side, was grounded in the hardest of hard interests, national security considerations and economic considerations, market opportunities for Bahrain, United Emirates, and Israel, but more importantly, a shared threat, Iran, that goes especially so for Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is aware that its principal nemesis is Iran. Israel regards Iran as its principal nemesis as well. They have a shared national security interest. This is a reason driving them together. Both NBS and Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel and other Israelis would like to see this partnership grow.
Advance a Palestinian state. That requires some definition. What is the vision that we can glean from MBS's remarks? What would that look like?
Yes, well, I think it is not as grand, let's say, as the Biden administration has in mind. President Biden himself, Secretary of State Blinken, National Security Advisor Sullivan really seem to envisage a full-blown Palestinian state. I suspect MBS is more realistic, that a full-blown Palestinian state is perhaps the legitimate long-term aspiration. Sullivan, Jake Sullivan of the White House, has himself spoken of a revamped and revitalized Palestinian authority that might govern Palestinians in Gaza, Judea, and Samaria. And Netanyahu, back in 2009, said that he would support a Palestinian state, but on two conditions. One, it had to recognize the legitimacy of Israel as the nation state of the Jewish people. And second, it must be demilitarized. So I imagine MBS and Israel, at least, and maybe the Biden administration will go along, could all affirm a long-term goal of a Palestinian state that's prepared to live in peace and security with Israel and that was demilitarized, and then define positive steps as steps, incremental steps that work toward that goal. I suspect MBS could live with it again. Israel, I suspect a majority could live with it, and those two countries will help explain to the Biden White House why that's reasonable given the circumstances.
I mean to be straightforward here, trying to imagine what this looks like. Gaza doesn't work, Peter, as it is now constituted. Reorganizing Gaza would not solve anything. It would just lead to another episode. So in advancing the Palestinian state, what does that mean for Gaza?
Yeah, so I've been speaking gingerly by speaking about long-term, intermediate-term. I think, John, what you want to understand is, okay, but in the short term, what's going to happen there? We have to acknowledge that all the options are horrible. There are only three. They can be mixed and matched. A international coalition, terrible idea. They always fail. Handing control back directly somehow to the Palestinian Authority, awful idea. Palestinian Authority as it exists today is weak, sclerotic, ineffective, lacks legitimacy. And Israel ruling directly over 2.2 million Palestinians who don't want to be ruled over by them. Also another terrible idea. I think the best we can hope for in the short term is that once Israel completes major military operations, once it has destroyed Hamas leadership and ability to fight, we could see a force come into the Gaza Strip composed of fighters from Saudi Arabia and from other Arab countries, along with Palestinians, as Israel works with them to continue to de-radicalize and demilitarize the entirety of the Gaza Strip. This enterprise could take years.
So it would look like Saudi Arabia taking some responsibility for Gaza. Is that what it would look like?
Some very limited responsibility. Everybody in Israel, I think, agrees, the security establishment, the people, that Israel is going to retain responsibility for overall security in Gaza for a long time. But there are 2.2 million people who need to be fed, who need to be clothed, who need to be housed, who need to have garbage picked up, and the sewage has to flow and in proper channels and so on, and help in administering the Gaza Strip. I think most desirably will come from fellow Arabs, from Arab states in the region.
Peter Berkowitz just returned from Israel, writing at Real Clear Politics about the Saudi bind. We started in the Israeli cabinet. We'll turn now to the Israeli people. I want to hear what Peter learned in his 10 days in the Holy Land about this trauma, this tragedy. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.